right now I'm working at an adult treatment center, which doesn't leave me as much time as I'd like to do for my artwork. I do very stylized contemporary versions of the traditional Northwest Coast Tlingit art. I work in carving, red and yellow cedar, and other non-traditional materials. I've done a few casts, face casts, and then I decorate them with abstract and traditional art. Small carvings, lots of paintings. Lately, I realize how short I am on time, so it's much more expedient for me to do paintings and colored pencil art, which I'm really starting to enjoy.
You've illustrated a children's book, Raven House Mouse?
Raven House Mouse, with the author Jan Steinbright, who now lives in Mexico. And it's a story of a mouse being adopted into a clan. So it introduces young children into the concept of adoption via the Tlingit protocols. And very cute story. Jan's working on a sequel to it, and we're going to collaborate on that when she gets time to. She's one of those people who's real busy with multiple projects too.
Now, you'll be working with kids here for part of your time visiting Petersburg. Talk about how you approach teaching this artwork form to kids.
Well, I think it's a lot less complicated of an art form than people believe it to be. When you look at it in its finished state, it looks very complex, and no one can find a starting place. So I break it down to simple elements. There's actually three very basic elements that I start with, and anyone's able to reproduce those. So that's a good way to introduce the art form. And I also have them just sketch anything as I'm talking or telling a story, so they can make the connection between illustrating something that actually happened or actually exists.
Anyone who's familiar with Tlingit artwork or Pacific Northwest Native art has seen the various representations of eagle or raven and other animals and killer whale. Is there a standard for certain types of animals, or is it really up to the individual artist to come up with the lines and the forms?
Well, yes to both answers. Some of the designs are old, and they've been passed down, and they have become what we call in Tlingit at'u, which is very, very valuable heirlooms. And so those exist as designs in themselves. And the rest of them are, it's a very symbolic art form. You can symbolize the clan that you belong to and produce what we call our clan crest. And those are all the variety of different creatures and animals. Those can be drawn according to the way the artist perceives his idea. So there's a lot of latitude. There's no one singular way to produce something, unless it's one of our treasured heirlooms.
In addition to teaching a couple of classes in artwork, one to adults and one to kids, you'll be doing an evening of poetry as well. Do you have a work that maybe you'd like to give people a preview of?
I'm going to read this poem, He Was a Dancer. He was a dancer all over the floor, the bed of hemlock that was the ocean. He rode it, swimming through the air with fists of feathers, 70 years and still live. I wanted to move like him, bare feet coming down exactly to the skin-tight drum. Cawing like the raven, he had long silver hair that whipped and kept your eyes from stopping on the old dance blanket. I wonder where he kept it hidden, his only property. His shack by the Humpy Creek, the smokehouse after the fire. It was a hard life for him after his wife died. He made his rounds at just the right time, returning home with gunny sacks of canned goods tossed over his shoulder. He was a dancer. Wool and sweat, he died drunk, sprawled, no blanket, in a fire-gutted house. Indian Village, Sitka, 1975, no teeth, almost deaf, death's grip on wine jug. Once again, somewhere, he makes that rattle sing. Sealskin, ermine headdress, button blanket, unfolding themselves. Once again, somewhere, the singers recapture their notes, their persistent songs, pulsing with that diving figure, his arms outstretched.